Tonight we're going to start a series of talking about stewardship. It's a funny kind of word, being a steward. It means a caretaker, looking after stuff. What kind of stuff do we look after? We look after the things that God has given us. What things has God given us? God has given us everything. The whole creation, who we are, comes from God. One of my favourite parts of Scripture is at the very beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1. Maybe it's my favourite because when I was a kid, I always wanted to read the whole Bible. So I'd start at Genesis 1 and get to about Genesis chapter 6 and forget about it, and then the urge would come back and I'd start at Genesis 1 again. So I reckon I must have read, as I was growing up, Genesis 1 lots and lots of times. But it's beautiful poetry. It's about how God created everything. And whether you take it literally, that it happened as it's described, or whether you take it as this amazing poem, the reality is that what's the scripture is saying is that everything in existence comes from God. And we know how it goes. God, the wind, the breath, the spirit of God goes over creation. Forms begin to take shape. Lights in the sky. Then the earth becomes a teeming menagerie of animals and plant life. God created all this abundance. And it goes through this rhythm of God creating this and then God looking at what God's done and saying, hey, this is good. The creation is good. What God's made is good. And we are part of that creation. You know, Adam, the first human being that God creates, Adam comes from Adama. Adama means the earth, the dirt. Adam is literally the dirt creature or the earth creature. That's where we come from. We come from the very earth that God's created. You know, I think humanity forgets that. We forget that we're part of creation. I mean, I nearly watch the TV and I weep when I see these huge fires burning in the Amazon. Are we really so stupid we think we can burn up the green lungs of the earth, it's not going to affect us? We are part of the creation. Whatever happens to creation will affect us. God created us as his creatures, along with everything else. So everything we have comes from God. And often we forget at our peril that we're God's creatures. You know, in the scripture, it talks about sin, but I think there's one sin that is at the root of all others. And in the Ten Commandments, it's forbidden. It's the sin of idolatry, to put anything else up higher than God. Because it makes us forget that we're creatures of God. If we worship money, if we worship some other god we make, if we worship our own self and our own well-being, if we put that higher than God, then we've already forgotten our real nature as creatures, as people made by God. So God goes through this routine of creating all the different things, and then it says on the seventh day, God rested from what he was doing. And ever after that, within the tradition of the people of the Old Testament, even up into our own times with the Christian community, there was one day of the week that was set aside as a day of rest. It was a reminder. It was to be a reminder for us that we didn't have to work and God would provide. That we don't achieve things through our own effort. We're not our own people, but we're people who are graced by God. You know, in the ancient times of Israel, this system grew up of the seventh day. And then on the seventh year, all the farmers were to leave their fields fallow. That means they weren't to plant anything. And you know what had happened when they left the fields fallow or didn't plant? All the heritage seed that was left in the ground would begin to sprout up. And they wouldn't get as much as normal, but they could go around and harvest what sprang up on the fields. And they'd get enough. Again, a reminder that it's not from our labour that we survive, but from the graciousness of God. And you know, they had this system of 7 years, and on the seventh cycle of 7 years, they had what they called the Jubilee. And if I'd any land that I'd had sold to someone else, or I'd gone into debt and I'd lost the land that I inherited from my forebears, it would all go back to its original owners. The land would all be redistributed. Debts that had been incurred would be forgiven. The year of Jubilee. A reminder that everything we have comes as a trust. It's not ours. We can't hold it and not let anyone else have it. It all comes from God. And in the end, it's all to be offered up to God. So when we speak of stewardship, we're talking about what do we do with everything that God has entrusted us with? What do we do with our lives? The very breath within us, the very life within us. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with all the experiences you have, all the knowledge you have, all the skills you have, all the resources you have, the things you have, the money you have, all of it? How are you going to use it? Acknowledging that God is your creator, we're creatures of a loving God, and we want to use it in thankfulness to God. How are we going to use what we have? You know, in ancient Israel, whenever they would take a harvest, that was part of the system of sevens, the first tenth of the harvest, they would offer up as an offering to God. A reminder that what they had, they only had through the graciousness of God. And a whole system of offerings. A reminder that we live under the grace of God. And what we have, we offer up out of thankfulness to God. There's a passage in Corinthians that I want to look at. It's in chapter 8. And I want to tell you a little bit about the background of this passage. Corinth was a city on the Greek peninsula. And Paul was there, he'd been there, he's writing to this community. And he'd been travelling around trying to gather up a collection, because where the church started back in Jerusalem, they'd come under a lot of persecution. They were suffering at that time because both the Jewish people and the Roman state were targeting Christians for persecution. Also, there was a famine. So the community that was the mother community, if you like, of the Christian churches was really suffering. And Paul was going around to all these churches in other places saying, out of love, we've got to take up an offering. We've got to take it back so that the people at the heart of our movement back there in Jerusalem in so much need will be able to survive this time of persecution and famine. And so Paul's in writing to the church in Corinth. And he holds up for them an example of this church in Macedonia. He says, you guys, look at this church in Macedonia because it's a great model of a generous and a faithful church. And this is chapter 8. I'm going to read it. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord and then by the will of God to us. So we urged Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want you to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Here's Paul talking to the church in Corinth. He's saying, look at these Macedonians. They are doing it tough. They're not a rich church. They also were suffering. But they were coming to us to plead with us that they might be able to give a gift for us to take back to the church in Jerusalem. Can you imagine people pleading to be able to have the privilege of making an offering? Kind of goes against our experience. Usually we begrudgingly want to offer or give gifts to others. Here is a church that's poor, struggling, wanting the privilege, lining up, pleading with Paul, we also want to give. The important thing is, what was their motivation? Why were they wanting to do this? It was an act of love. Yes, absolutely an act of love. But they wanted to do it, and it says here, they wanted to do it, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. They looked at Jesus, who was equal with God. Jesus was God. Jesus was at the heart of creation. As it says in the beginning of the Gospel of John, the Word was with God and was God. Jesus was of such status. But Jesus emptied himself completely of all power, of all status, and came down and entered into human existence. And in the end, gave up his very life so that we would have life. And the Macedonians are looking at what their Lord has done and has transformed and changed their life and saying, what God has done for us in Jesus is of such amazing emptying, pouring out of God's self for us out of love. What can we do in response other than to want to give ourselves totally to God, to our Lord, and to our neighbours? The understanding of stewardship that comes through here is that what we have, because of what God has done through it for us in Jesus Christ, we want to pour it out in thankfulness. How are we to respond to what God has done? There's another story, and it's the last one I'll touch on, which you know well. It's the story of the prodigal son. You know, he goes to his father and he says, I want to rack off. I want to go out and live my life on my own. Give me my inheritance. And we know the story. He goes off to a far place. He squanders what he has. He ends up against all the traditions of the Jewish people, feeding us the dirtiest and grubbiest animals that they can imagine, the pigs. And then being so low and downcast that he even wants to eat what the pigs are being fed. And this guy thinks to himself, hey, I was much better off at home in my father's house. I'll go back, plead with him that I can just even be a servant in his house. But you know the story, when he goes back, he isn't greeted as a servant, but as a son. He's restored to his sonhood. He's given shoes for his feet. He's no longer a slave. He's given a ring for his finger. He's now part of the family again. He's given a beautiful coat and he's throwing a party. We don't know how that story ends, because the story goes on to talk about the grumbling older brother who doesn't want to come in and enjoy the feast. But what can we imagine of the gratitude of that son who had nothing and is restored to full sonship again? The father could have said, rack off, I don't want anything to do with you. The father sort of said, okay, I'll treat you as a slave. Go down into the slaves' quarters, eat what they're eating. But the father welcomes him as a son. What would be his gratitude? What would he do in response to the father? Wouldn't it be wanting to pour out everything he had? All he had, his own very self, in thanksgiving to the father for what he'd done. This is the experience of the Macedonian church. They know how Christ has transformed their lives, and they want to pour out all the gifts they have in thankfulness to him. For me, stewardship is about what we do with the things that God has given us. But it's also about how we turn our whole lives into a song of praise, that all the gifts we have, all the talents we have, all the skills we have, all the resources we have, we want to turn it into a song, into a composition that will praise God, praise our Lord Jesus Christ for what Christ has done in our lives. You know, we're not ever going to earn salvation by giving things to God. How can we get anything by giving something to God? Because God's given us everything. But what we can do is show our love, our appreciation, through offering ourselves fully and totally to God. In the weeks ahead, we're going to explore more what stewardship means. We're going to look at some of the things that Jesus says about money and resources in the New Testament. We're going to look at some of the things about what it says in the New Testament about being a generous community. But for now, I want to leave you with these sort of basic things. We are creatures of a loving God. Everything we have comes from God. And in response, we're called to offer all we are in praise and thanksgiving of the God who created us, loved us, and will never let us go. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you that you created us in love and that you've never stopped loving us. And it doesn't matter how far or distant we wander away from you, that you always come and seek us out and call us back to yourself. Loving God, you have transformed our lives. You've touched our lives. You've changed them. You've given us meaning at the very heart of our being. And we want to sing our praises to you, not just with our voices and with our guitars and instruments. We want to sing them with our whole lives. We want to sing a song that's crafted of the skills and talents you gave us, of the resources we have. We want to transform it all into a praise song to sing your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.